Hey guys, ladies and gentlemen, and people of all gender identities, you are listening to
Forget About It on Radio Regent.
Come vibe out with us, guys. Welcome back, guys, to our show. Like Rebella said, forget about it. How are you guys doing?
I'm pretty good. My weekend was really busy. On Saturday, I actually threw like a surprise birthday party for someone.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
So did fun. I.
Really?
Yeah, oh on the Saturday god. Too.
Twins.
Whoa.
Yeah, no, it was really fun. I was in charge of like decor and everything.
You so too? Was I. I oh was in charge god. Of decor oh on Saturday. God. Surprise birthday I at the beach. It. Woodbine.
Guys, I think I forgot something. We need to introduce our new host.
Oh, of course.
So, Humaira, you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, guys. So, my name is Humaira. Definitely one of Regent's finest.
Of course.
Small business of my own. Everyone, all the viewers, all ladies, gentlemen, and everyone else, please follow Diabolic Chocoholic on Instagram.
Yeah, hook plug you guys your stuff. Up. Plug your stuff.
Hook you guys up with a good price. Tell me, DM me, and tell me you came from here, and 10% off.
Oh.
So, don't play games.
Guys, take the offer up, okay? So, we're here with Samir.
Rebel.
Saima.
Humaira.
Diam's in the background.
Yeah. Woo. So, how's you guys' weekend? Diam, how was your weekend?
Pretty good, honestly. I about some of my coworkers with the videography thing. And it was fun because I got to go to a music festival for the first time for free. And
we love for free.
For free, yeah. It was fun. It was fun. The music, I feel like regardless of what kind of genre you're into, loud music is just kind of good regardless.
Yeah.
Because you just see them playing and it's like, okay, this person's just really good. Like, I don't really like listening to like rock music or anything. But if I see the band playing it, I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, and if everyone else is vibing, like, you all vibe.
You're just forced to vibe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not gonna be the buzzkill of the group. Yeah. Like, I have to bob my head and start jumping.
And then yesterday we just kind of hung out. I went to Riddle Room.
I've been wanting to go.
It's so fun.
Really?
It's super chill. I got my nails painted.
Ooh, and I'm looking at them right now, guys, and yeah. It's so cute.
It's like a pinkish color.
Yeah, like a corally color.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I have a question. Have you guys ever been to a concert?
Oh my god, my first ever concert was the Jonas Brothers.
No way.
Me too.
Say, oh, that you concert? Went to, you the went last to that year, concert? Like the like reunion 2 tour,
years
runner?
Ago.
Yeah, it was so good, right?
Was it like right before coronavirus? And like, yeah. Was it in like September, August?
It was in August. Yeah, August, like August. August 24th.
Like 2019.
Like tomorrow is going to be the anniversary of our first ever concert, Samir. And how crazy is it that we are both at the same concert?
Yeah.
Different locations.
Okay, so let me tell you a little bit about that concert. I don't know one Jonas Brothers song, and I got the tickets for free.
Me too.
But like, you know, when you're with the right crowd of people, it's just like it was so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, I want to go to another concert. So, you know, Regent Park TV, hook me up. But yeah, so there was like intermissions, and we'd like put our flashlight on our phone. And we'd like go left to right and see if we can get anyone on the other side of like the stadium to try and do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then next thing you know, we got like over 20 people like shaking their flashlight. And so we started doing patterns. So we went up and down. And everyone starts putting their phone up and down.
Yeah.
It was sick. It was sick.
Yeah, that concert was amazing. Like that concert, the tickets were given to me for free too. And like when it was given to me, I was like, okay, now I gotta start listening to the album, like, you know, like I knew some old songs, but this is the reunion tour, right?
Yeah.
So I started like stacking up listening to the album when I was there. So such a fun experience. Great first concert. We immediately got Harry Styles tickets after, but now Harry Styles is no longer coming to Canada.
Yeah. So I heard about that.
I had tickets for that.
You had tickets for that show too?
Yeah, I did.
I had no idea you had, which mine is on the second day.
I think mine was on the second day as
well. Oh my god.
The 29th?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so sad because that was going to be my first concert.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Great way to like I also want to go to J.I. in October. Prince of New York, J.I.
Is he going to have it in Rebel as well?
Yeah, Rebel.
Yeah, yo, all the New York rappers have it in Rebel. Did you go to the little TJ one?
No, I didn't go to that one because I know that was going to be so packed.
Yeah, I heard it was mosh. Like,
A Boogie was there too.
Oh, I love A Boogie.
I know, I love A Boogie, but that was like way back in like grade 9, grade 10. Yeah, like, yo. 2017.
All the New York rappers are going to Rebel. That's actually jokes. So, yeah.
I think I have the funniest answer for what was your first concert. It was a Little Brett in this building.
Oh, man.
No way. I didn't count that.
$5 admission fees. I was like, okay. Actually, I didn't want to go. And then my friend was like, I bought you a ticket. Pay me back. I was like, damn it. And then we ended up going. And it was fun. It was all right.
Where in the building was it?
It was in the first floor, like the 80s.
Oh. Like, yeah. Was it good?
Whatever. I mean, it was like his first show, I think.
Yeah.
So it was clearly very, like, you know, a learning experience, but it was fun. Chromaz showed up.
Chromaz came?
Yeah.
Chromiana?
And she threw...
Queen of the City?
You seem like you like Chromaz.
I love Chromaz. Really? I'm a huge Chromaz fan. Chromaz?
I like what she's doing, but she's kind of annoying. Like, she's like that annoying girl in your ear for the city.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she's sort of a necessary evil.
Yeah,
what's her friend's name? I like her friend.
Oh, that chair girl.
The chair girl.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that chair girl pissed off a lot of older people.
Yeah. Chair girl was the first time like old people Toronto and like that kind of crossed over.
Yeah, she didn't even go to jail too. That's what made me mad. She just got a lot of like community service.
Chrome and Comas.
Oh Jesus.
But yeah, so. Wait, Rebel, how you doing? How was your weekend?
Thanks for asking. It was actually, you know, pretty fun.
Pretty fun? Anything special you did?
Stayed home, slept, watched a movie.
What movie?
The Protégé.
Protégé, how was it?
Very good. It was like a 9.5. It was very good.
Okay, so you guys better watch The Protégé, okay? Rebel certified. So... yeah, today our podcast is going to be on Islamophobia because due to recent events in Afghanistan and Palestine, there's going to be an uprising in Islamophobia in our city, in our province, and in our country. So I felt like it was really important to talk about it. And I wanted to talk about like how the stereotypes play into our life and how they affect us. So we have multiple interviews lined up for you guys today talking about like people who live in Regent Park and their experiences with Islamophobia because especially youth, it comes across as very difficult and like you can get like Islamophobic comments from the early age of like 5 to 10 and it's hard to be able to deal with it. And yeah, so we're going to talk about like real life situations and how to deal with Islamophobia. For Islamophobia wise, if you guys don't know what Islamophobia is the fear or hatred of or prejudice against the religion of Islam or Muslims in general. So, like I said, with the rise of violence in Muslim populated countries like Palestine, Afghanistan, and Somalia, statistics show that Islamophobia has been increasing throughout the world because of the way media controls these situations. So channels like Fox News and many more are trying to paint the Muslims as the criminals when that's never the case. Violent hate crimes like the one that took place in London, Ontario, a city that's 2-3 hours away from Toronto, have Muslims scared that they'll lose their life. Youth from the age as young as like 15 years old are losing their life, and it has people like feared, especially people in Regent Park, because you know that could have been our city, that could have been our neighborhood, and you know this was literally a family walking through their neighborhood, and they passed away sadly. So rest in peace. A heavily populated Muslim community filled with youth and multiple schools, staying home because they fear what they're going to lose their life against hatred against Muslims. So Islamophobia. Islamophobia isn't just on the rise in America, it's on the rise in Canada too. For example, I'm just going to say a few instances. So these are like headlines on articles, and this is happening like specifically in London, but this happens like in Toronto too. Two arrested at, and these are just headlines, guys, but two arrested at anti-Islam rally in London, Ontario. Neo-Nazi group in Southern Ontario on police radar. London psychiatrist Dr. Daniel Lefko linked to support of Canadian Nationalist Party, and racist man yelling derogatory terms in London. So all these hate crimes are just in London, and just demonstrates how bad the Islamophobia is in our province and in our country. A city 2 hours away from Toronto. So while these attacks do happen in Toronto, this is an ongoing thing, and a lot of the times they don't get reported to the police, and Muslim people and Muslim youth have to deal with it on the daily. So yeah, we're here today to talk about people's experiences with Islamophobia in Regent Park and how they've dealt with it. Okay, we're gonna go on a quick break, guys, and then we're gonna catch our first interview. And we'll see you then. Sunflower.
Just a little boy. Don't Cause I miss the shape of your lips, your wit. It's just a trick. This is it, so I'm sorry. Don't call me baby again. Got your reason. Know that you're trying to be friends. Know you mean it. Don't call me baby again. It's hard for me to go home. Be so lonely.
Welcome back from the break, guys. Today we have two special guests with us. We have Humaira Rahman. Humaira, you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, guys. So my name is Humaira. Regent Park's finest. Run a small business. Run it up. Diabolic Chocoholic. On Instagram. Follow for 10% off your next order.
Everyone, go add Diabolic Chocoholic on Instagram. And we also have another special guest. She works with us. She's usually on the Forget About It podcast. We have Saima Islam.
Hey.
Ooh, OG.
Saima, how are you doing today?
I'm doing amazing. Thank you very much.
That's great. So we have some more questions about Islamophobia. Let's run it up, guys. So both of you are Muslim, both of you hijabis. So I want to ask you a question about Islamophobia. Can you tell us a time about when you came across Islamophobia?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
So the second you say that, I actually think about the first time I've ever experienced it, which is a time, like, I'm 19 now, and I'm in second year. So it was, like, way back when I was in grade 10. Feels like ages ago. But I was, like, out with my friends after school, and I went to, like, Eden Center, you know, just window shopping. You know, yeah, window shopping, the regular, shopping, the regular, right? When you first get your first few paychecks, you know?
Yeah.
So obviously I wear a hijab, so I'm a walking Muslim, very easy, obvious to tell. And I think I was walking with a group. Like, so it was a group of girls, but there was one guy in the group. And it almost felt as if these people walking past me felt as if I was like shaming Islam as a whole, that I should not be doing this. And they almost even tried to rip off my hijab. And I was like,
wow.
It was ridiculous. Like, oh my God, as a grade 10 girl, like, imagine how scarred I was. Like, I took, like, the whole, like, freeze situation, and I had no idea what to do. I was, like,
15 years old. Wow.
I know. It's, like, I hear so many other people's stories, but then when it happens to you, it's, like, so surreal. Like,
that's not even fair. Like, you're 15.
Yeah.
Like, well, how are you supposed to know how to do everything right and stuff?
Yeah.
And at Eaton Center, like, Eaton's is so diverse. You wouldn't think that would happen at Eaton's.
Yes, exactly.
You know? Like, there's literally every group of people.
Wouldn't think it would happen in Toronto, too. Like, Toronto's really diverse.
Yeah.
City like London's very diverse, too. And, you know, they're having Islamophobic attacks.
Yeah.
For me, mine actually happened, like, a month ago during the summer.
No way.
Yeah, I was on the bus. I was with, like, my sister and, like, two of my friends who were all hijabis. And I was just... But it was, like, mostly directed to me and my friend because we were, like, sitting on one side of the bus. And this, like, woman comes on. And she was, like, out of it. I don't know. And then she was just like, yeah, like, get off the bus, blah, blah, blah. I'll take your job off. So the thing is, like, it almost happened to you. But, yeah. Like, she was, like, threatening. I wasn't sure if it was actually going to happen or not. But I kind of just, like, zoned out. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't really.
Yeah.
Because you try not to give them attention, yeah, you know? Because then it would have, like, escalated. So I just, that was mine.
Mine was a guy.
Yeah.
That's scary.
A guy did it. Like, how scary is that? I'm a small little 15-year-old girl and an older white male approaches me and looks like he's on one. And it's almost my bedtime. Like, I have to get home. Like, you know, if he, like, pulls it off, then I have to run and get it. And then I'm going to miss the 5:05 and then I'm going to be late. And then you know, there was just like a whirlwind of problems like happening. It all went through my head. And then, like, I immediately froze. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did it make you guys feel? Just wondering.
It was definitely a learning experience because after, like, I froze up, that's people who know that's not something I do. Like, mm-hmm. I don't freeze up. When these situations happen, I'm very vocal and, like, I want to make sure that things go my way, right? Mm-hmm. So after that, like, I've definitely, when these situations do happen, I definitely take a more vocal approach and, like, either through educating them in a nice, respectful, like, treat others the way you want to be treated kind mm-hmm. of way, or, like, guns blazing. Tell them to stop doing that, you know? Because it's not cool.
Yeah. For me, like, I was just confused because it came from, like, a woman of color as well. And I was like,
yes!
I was like, oh.
It can happen, right?
What happened to the support that we're supposed to have, you know?
Girls support girls.
Yeah, I was just really confused. And I was like, okay, it happens. And then that was, like, the first time, though. Like, that actually, mm-hmm. that was very memorable. But I was like, okay, that's that. Like, I was kind of disappointed, mm-hmm. I think. That was mine.
Have any of you had Islamophobic, like, interactions in the workplace?
That's a good question.
No. I can gladly say no. Because all of my work has been, like, in Regent.
Okay, so surprisingly, all of my work has been in Regent, but I have. Twice.
Twice?
One is at the local No Frills. But that's because, like, the No Frills is, like, on the border, outskirts of Regent, right? So obviously there were a couple of people who are like, oh my God. This is, like, near the end of when I quit. Someone is like, go back to your country.
No way.
And I'm like, this is my country, sir.
Yeah.
And it was a person of color himself.
That's
I was like, just like this is your country, this is also my country, you know?
Yeah.
Guns blazing, obviously.
That phrase could have easily been said to him as well.
That's my whole point.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And then the second instant was actually at a different place I worked at. Mm-hmm. No names.
No name dropping.
It's one of them ones where it's so recent, so I'm not sure if it's Islamophobia or if it's just uneducation, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Where no idea what Eid is, no idea what Ramadan is, doesn't want to wish Eid Mubarak, but will wish mm-hmm. everyone a happy Thanksgiving, happy mm-hmm. Irish Day, whatever that's called. St. Patrick's Day, sorry. Yeah. But like, just ridiculous things. It's like no, I don't know.
I know what you mean. Like, just like the unawareness, or just not like, also like the like the no willingness to learn.
Exactly.
Yeah. That can feel,
exactly.
You know, yeah.
It's especially like they don't even want to hear about it, right? Yeah. And when you're working in Regent Park with such a diverse mm-hmm. group, you should be open
to
hearing about these situations.
Know. Yeah, but for sure.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
All right, so has being Muslim or hijabi affected your life in a positive or negative way, and why?
I think I kind of have like the, not the best of both worlds, but a little bit of a double life because I obviously live in Regent Park. It's very diverse. Everyone mm-hmm. here is like Muslim. Not everyone, obviously, but like a lot of the people that I spend my time with are Muslim and are like hijabis as well. But then I also go to a school where I'm like the only hijabi, mm-hmm. right? So I have never experienced like upfront Islamophobia at school, but I do feel like sometimes there are like the space isn't like catered to me, I guess you could say. And so, like, it kind of feels, I kind of feel, like, out of place sometimes at school. And I have great friends at school, but obviously it's different when, like, the people don't understand everything that you go through, like, struggles. But I think for the most part, positive. And how is just, like, I just feel very comfortable and, like, very, like, aware of just, like, my religion itself. Like, I'm not, like, confused about it
mm-hmm.
or anything. Like, when I go to school, if someone, like, has a question, I won't be, like, oh, I don't know.
Hesitant to answer,
yeah, like,
right?
I'll know and I'll be, like, firm.
Yeah.
So
for me, I'll always, whenever anyone does have questions, I'll always answer to the best of my abilities, mm-hmm. but make, like, always letting them know that, like, I'll always get back to you. Yeah. And then I'll just ask someone higher up than me. Like, exactly. I'll ask local sister Jassia.
Love Jassia.
Have you guys ever came across, like usually at friends at your school, or usually it's friends, but they'll, like, make jokes, but they're, like, really Islamophobic.
And, like, oh, for sure.
Yeah, you have, like, you know, they look at you for, like, permission to let it slide, and it's just like, yo, I can't let that slide, you know? Because a lot of people have, like, that problem of, like, putting your friends in check.
Yeah.
And it comes from, like, such a young age, like, 14, 15, 16. Like, how do you put your friends in check when you can't even, like, some people don't even know how to put themselves in check and how to check themselves?
For me, although I'm very, like, in a situation, if somebody not my friend were doing it, I'm easy to say, like, cut that out, guns blazing. But, like, when it is someone close to me, I hate being confrontational. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, literally, I rather run the other way.
And then, like, confront someone.
Yeah. So, oftentimes, if I do it, and if somebody says something, and it's, like, repeating, and I'm actually, like, bothered by it, I'll, like, make a joke, be like, yo, that ain't cool. Mm-hmm. Like, cut that out. You know, I'll just say it in a different tone. But, like, if they're still not picking it up, then, you know, like, they ain't the friend no more.
Yeah. I think for me, like, sometimes, it's just, like, I don't know, I don't get, like, offended, but sometimes I do feel uncomfortable when it's, like, when I get asked questions by my friends that kind of seem, like, a little bit condescending. Like, if I'm wearing a long sleeve in the summer, they're like,
are you hot?
In that? Yeah. And it's, like, you've seen me wear this, like, modest clothing every year, all year round.
Hold life.
You don't need to ask me every single summer.
I love
winter. Yeah, like, obviously I'm hot, but what am I gonna do, you know?
Yeah.
But it's also, like, about the putting your friends in check, sometimes I just, like, have to respond with confidence. Like, I don't, like, snap back or anything, but I remember someone one time was, like, one of my friends, when we were little, we were, like, in grade 4, and she was, like, looking at one of the moms in the neighborhood who was wearing, like, a full niqab and stuff. She's, like, would you wear that? Oh. And she said it like that, and I was, like, yeah, maybe. Like, you know, like, I wasn't, like, oh, like, I don't think so. Like, that's, like, weird, you know, like, you have to just, like, be, like, straight up, you know what I mean? Without being, like, rude or anything, but that's my, like, answer.
I've had similar situations where, like, a lot of the niqabis in the area just go walk around the park, just like any other human being. Exactly. They need fresh air and they need exercise, right? And I know a couple of them, like, they're familiar faces to me, right? And I'll be able to tell who they are, so I give a couple of them salams, right? And the people I'm around occasionally are like, how could you tell who that is? How did you even know who that is? Are you sure?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know if they ever have, like, the intention to be rude, but it can come across that way.
Yeah.
But
that's why, like, I always try to take it in with an open mind, but, like, in hopes that they're just trying to be educated. But if it's, like, happening too often, then I'll be able to tell, like, something ain't adding up.
So for the next question, it's, how do you deal with Islamophobia? So if you have any, like, advice or what you did to deal with Islamophobia for certain situations.
For my situation on the bus, I literally just ignored it because I felt like I could tell that the person who said that to me wasn't in, like, the right mind, I guess. And I don't even know if she, like, meant it or if she was just trying to offend me, but I ignored it. But also, like, on social media, I will, like, post things
or clap back.
Yeah, or, like, retweet things, you know? But that's the way I deal with that. But the thing is, the thing about being Muslim is if you, like, say something in a rude way when defending,
then you're living up to their standards.
Yeah.
Then you're fitting the stereotypes. Oh, exactly. This is exactly why I'm yelling at you. Because, like, just like any normal person, though, if you're constantly getting, like, provoked and, like, poked and poked and poked, you're going to snap.
You're going to be angry.
Yeah, you're going to snap eventually. Being conscious of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, after that one time that I froze up, like, I always do try, like, approaching the situation differently and, like, being vocal, but, like, not in a rude way.
Yeah.
Because, like, once, like Saima said, once you are rude about it, it's like,
oh.
That's exactly what they wanted, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of, like, what they want to see, you know? But, and also, like, our religion does teach us to, like, you know, educate people and be kind all the time. So you have to try and, like, keep that in mind. But,
yeah. It's kind of that bridge between, like, being able to, like, defend yourself and fend for you. Or, like, you know, repping the religion properly.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have, like, difficult issues with that. Like, they want to go out and be themselves, but they don't want to, like...
Disrespect the religion.
It's hard. Especially being, like, a hijabi, I could imagine, like, you don't want to do anything, like, and be seen in the wrong way.
Yeah, we can't do the same things that other people do. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because we have to uphold that standard, right?
Yeah. But that's another thing. It's, like, the second someone sees a hijabi, they're, like, automatically deemed as perfect. Like, you just think they're the perfect Muslim. But, you know, like, the way it is, everyone goes through their own things. Everyone sins in their own ways. Everyone, like, has their little slip, their catch-up, right? Yeah. But it's, like, people look at you and watch you differently. So you just always have to be conscious of that. And just personally, I'm just conscious about the people who I'm around. That's my main thing.
For the next question, it's, how empowering is it to be Muslim to you?
I think Humair and I can both agree on this. I think the most empowering I feel is when we're actually in the neighborhood.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially when there's, like, little kids coming up to us and they kind of look up to us. And they're like, oh, I want to wear hijab. You know what I mean? Yes. It's just like, oh, that's so cute. And you feel like you've done something right, I guess.
Yeah, so I've had, like, an instant where, so usually in this area, as you all know, from, like, about 6:37, everyone's outside.
Yeah.
Like, they're just enjoying the park, running around, playing with their friends, all the way up until sunset. So I think I was, like, coming home from somewhere, and it was, like, sunset time everyone has to go home. And these little girls, like, came up to me, and they're like, Humaira, look at my hijab. And I'm like, oh, so cute. Like, go pray, like, because sunset is when you pray. I'm like, go pray, Maghrib. Right? Yeah. And they're like, okay, I'm going to go pray. Aww. And they're, like, running to go show me they're going to pray. Look, see, no, I'm going to pray first. No, I'm going to pray first, you know? So, like, yeah, like, I like it in the sense of, like, you're inspiring the youth to have, like, a positive image of Islam. Because I know, like, all it takes is, like, one negative situation.
Yeah.
Like, that one situation of, like, someone trying to rip up my hijab, I could have took it off the next day and never wore it again because I was scared of a man trying to attack me. So I'm just, like, it's fun to, like, put positive images in their head when it comes to Islam. When it comes to, whether it be through mosques, seeing them in Ramadan, whether it be through night prayers or, like, when you're at the mosque, giving them little treats and candies and, like, encouraging them, positive reinforcement, stuff like, you know, like, you're on the right track, whether you choose, however you choose to display Islam or, like, whether it be through your hijab or not, whether, it, like, it's different for everyone.
Yeah. I actually want to point something out. So this is just something that I realized as you were saying your answer. It's, like, the only time I feel negatively about being a Muslim is when other people who aren't Muslims, like, criticize me.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes, because
then it, like, just like any other thing, it messes with you mentally. Yeah. Like, if someone is every single day calling out my shoes, I'm not going to wear my shoes the fifth day, right? So, like, if I'm constantly being bashed for something, you're going to want to change it.
Yeah.
So, if you're constantly being bashed for your hijab, whether you do it or not, you're going to want to change it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you just, there's so many other battles to go through after that.
Crazy.
Yep.
And, like, being a role model in our neighborhood, it's really hard because, like, our neighborhood, you could catch a lot of bad habits very easily.
Oh, for sure.
Females and men, you know what I'm saying? So,
women and men. Females and men.
Did I say it properly?
Men and women.
Men and women? My bad, guys.
It's okay.
My bad, guys and girls. and others. So, it could be very easy to pick up these bad habits, but I'm just, you know, proud of you guys. You guys are great role models.
I very much appreciate it.
I love being an older head of the area.
And yeah, that wraps up our interview. We're going to cut on break, guys, and we'll see you after the break.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Always tomorrow.
till I'm gonna need somebody to lean on. Please swallow your pride if I have failed. You need to borrow, for no one can feel those of your needs that you won't let show. Just call on me, brother, when you need a hand. We all need somebody to lean on. I just might have a problem that you'll understand. We all need somebody to lean.
We, our interviews we have today are, I'm Samir.
Yeah.
I am Rebel.
I'm Pumera.
And I'm Sangla.
And we also have Diam in the room.
Nice to meet all of you.
So yeah, you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Maruf. I'm from Regent Park. And I'm 16 years old. I go to Jarvis Collegiate Institute. Yeah, that's mostly it.
Okay, so for today, for our episode, we were talking a bit about Islamophobia and our experiences with Islamophobia. And I thought you'd be a great person to talk to and ask about because I can see you and visually identify you as Muslim. So yeah.
Yeah.
So if for our first question, it can be, can you tell us a time that you came across Islamophobia?
Me personally, whenever I'm walking down the street, I'm mostly always wearing my jubba. I don't know if you guys know what that means. It's like So it's like an Arabic clothing, if you guys don't know what it means. So anyway, I always wear that. And, one time I was walking in the subway side of Donland Station. And there was a man who said some very negative things. So it's like I looked into his eyes and I seen the misunderstanding and weakness in his eyes. You feel me? It's like I seen that this guy does not know anything about my religion. So the only thing I had in my heart was sympathy and love for him, because I understood the only reason of this person hating is because they don't know what Islam teaches, and they just watch these satanic news outlets and these governments who are misleading people with misinformation. So, these people who hate on Islam without the knowledge, it is because of us Muslims. It's because we are weak right now, and we didn't give them the information yet. And they are listening to, the news, whatever propaganda they're focused on, So it's like, it's our problem. So when I see these people hating, I go like, yo, it's my problem, and it's my duty to let him know what Islam really teaches. Somehow, I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but I gotta do it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my way of thinking about this.
That was a great response. It's a great answer. So, for our next question, it's, what do you think are some of the causes for people to like? Sorry, hold on. I got one of the questions wrong. Has being a Muslim affected you in a positive or negative way, and why?
That's a good question. But before I give the answer, I just want to make a point, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's like, honestly, I feel like what is positive and what is negative is not something I decide.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, it's something my creator decides for me. Because most of the times when I look into my life, personally, how many times I thought something was negative, but it was actually positive for me, or something was positive, and I thought it was positive for me, like going into that relationship, haram relationship or whatnot, and it ended up breaking my heart or whatnot, So it's like positive, and what is negative is not something I decide. For sure, it is out of instinct, that if somebody's bringing negative energy into your life, you can feel it, But on the contrary, It's our creator who decides and gives us a nizam, a way of thinking, a way of life, a way to talk. And all of this, you know? So it's like, I feel like it's our creator who gives us what is positive and what is negative. So it's like, if you're asking me, has being Muslim, you know, or has being Muslim affected your life in a positive or negative way, I would only say that it has only guided me in a positive way of thinking, in a positive way of, you know, in every shape of way of my life. Because, you know, because as a Muslim, what does Muslim mean? Muslim means you submit your own will to God's will. You feel me?
Yeah.
So it's like, yo, I checked from the Quran and the Sunnah, from the Quran and the sayings of my Prophet, and I seek knowledge and I understand what is positive and what is negative for me. But it's not something from my own desires. Rather, it is something from the wanting of my Creator, what my Creator wants for me. I feel like this should answer the question. You feel me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of segues into our next question, which is kind of like identity. So how empowering is it to be Muslim to you, if it is?
Every aspect of my life, every aspect, from the way I think to the way I talk, walk, sleep, eat, dress, look, you know, in every way, bro, to the way I deal with money, people, my facial expressions, discipline, see, in every way, Islam has only brought me forward. You know, a person of intellect, a person who has intellect in his brain, will only understand that Islam only empowers a person, only brings them forward in society, in life, in every way. The moment you leave Islam, the moment you leave the way of your Creator, and you go with your own desires, that's the moment you have truly doomed yourself. It's like, bro, in the way I talk with women, in the way I deal with my parents, in the way, so it's like, bro, all I could say is Islam, like, for sure, like, personally, if Islam wasn't there for me, I would be suicidal, for real, for real. Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah that Allah has guided me to Islam, so I'm so grateful to my Creator, and I'm grateful to the people who have helped me in this journey of my life. So it's like, all I would say, bro, is Islam has only gave me the natural feeling that I always had in my heart. Islam only reassured that more, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, there's something in Arabic, it's called fitra. It's called, the meaning more or less is like, the closest meaning in English would be natural instinct. So it's like, every human on earth has this natural instinct in their heart, you know, and the moment you hear about it, you feel this feeling that you go like, yo, shoot, man, this is the correct way of life. You know, you feel it. It's a natural feeling that you feel the moment you hear about it, you know. That's why Allah says in the Quran, "Hudal lil muttaqin." You know, the Quran is a guidance for those, you know, who have taqwa. And the Quran is a guidance for all of mankind. And, you know, Allah says in the Surah Al-Asr that by time, indeed, mankind is in grave loss, except for those who believe. And what do they do? And do righteous actions. Now, belief, you can't believe without knowledge. So belief entails knowledge, and then they do righteous actions. And then, وَتُوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ, and they encourage each other, like we are doing right now in this podcast, we are encouraging each other towards what? Towards haqq, towards the truth. وَتُوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they encourage each other towards what? Patience. So it's like, bro, if somebody's doing these four things, they are already winning in life. What is it? Believe, righteous actions, and they encourage each other towards the truth, and they encourage each other towards patience. If I find in my life that I do these four things, I'm winning. And I don't care what people have to say, I'm winning in my life. That's what I have to say about this, bro.
Uh-huh, for sure. For our last question, it's, if we go back to Islamophobia, how do you deal with Islamophobia if you come across it?
Honestly, I would say there's this quote. Listen to this carefully. People might be doubting how far you can go. You know, sometimes your family, your friends, they doubt how far you can go. So the quote goes like this. People might be doubting how far you can go. So go so far exceeding the heavens and the earth to your creator. So those people who are hating upon you don't even exist in your world in the way you think, to the point where you have nothing but mercy and sympathy for them. You know, so I would say personally, as our Prophet ﷺ, he said, peace be upon him, he said, Islam began as something strange, and it will return to being strange. So blessed are these strangers. And another narration, it says, verily the religion, Islam, the way of life, began as something strange, and it will return to being strange. So blessed are these strangers who restore my sunnah that people have corrupted after me. So it's like, bro, the only reason we have to deal with Islamophobia, etc., is because we have corrupted the sunnah. You know, you guys know what sunnah means?
Yeah, but you want to give people who are listening.
Yeah, sunnah means the way of the Prophet. In Islam, we follow the Quran and the sunnah. Meaning is that we follow the Quran and we follow the way of the Prophet. The way our Prophet ate, the way our Prophet dressed, the way our Prophet talked with people, the way our Prophet... So we go with that, you know, because Allah says in the Quran, what does He say? He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. He says that the best, you know, role model for us is our Prophet. So whatever we do in our life as a Muslim, we follow the Quran and we follow the way of the Prophet who has been... So Allah, we believe that Allah has sent messengers from the time of Adam till this till the Prophet Muhammad's time. He has been sending messengers to mankind to guide them towards the correct path, right? So we follow the Quran, we follow the revelation, and we follow the way of the Prophet. So as I, back to what I was saying, is that the only reason why we have to deal with Islamophobia as a Muslim, etc., is because we have left the Sunnah, the way of the Prophet that our Prophet brought. We have left that. That's why this whole thing has been corrupted. So I truly believe, without a doubt, that we should actually, you know, bring these people who are hating upon us. We should actually bring them and we should tell them about Islam somehow. And the only way to do that is to seek knowledge, and is to instead of becoming emotional and going like this and going to this protest or that protest, I feel like instead of doing that, teach them how protest, that's good, mashallah, but becoming emotional, you know, and going like, oh, this, that, that, this, we don't need that, bro. We Muslims, alhamdulillah, Allah has given us Quran, Allah has empowered us. We don't need that, bro. We got better ways of thinking. So it's like, bro, as our Prophet said, blessed are these strangers. We are strangers right now to a lot of people. They don't know about Islam. You know, most of the people know about Islam, but a lot of people don't know about Islam. So what do we need to do? We need to spread this. And wallahi, I will tell whoever is listening, I take an oath by my creator. If you have a heart that is clean, wallahi, people will feel it. Even if they don't tell you, wallahi, people will feel that this person has something inside of them. It is called Nur of Allah, the light of Allah, that they will feel within them. The moment they meet you, they will feel this. They go like, yo, shoot, man. This guy got something in him that he just can't explain it to you, you know, but he will feel it. So it's like, clean your heart and just make sure that whenever you're out there, you have full tawakkul upon Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, that, and you are always remembering Allah. If you're doing this, if you're upon this methodology, I promise to you, in your whole life, whenever every human you meet, you are going to benefit them. And if you don't benefit them, they're going to benefit you somehow. If you are upon this methodology, that's all I have to say, bro. I hope that makes sense. I don't know.
No, yeah. It made sense.
Okay, yeah. So thank you so much for joining. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Your responses were a good coping mechanism. Your answers. So thank you for joining.
All right, thank you. You guys have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Thank you,
brother. All right, Samir, bro. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. All right, thank you, guys. We had one more interview, but unfortunately we don't have the time. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. Thank you so much for tuning in with us and staying with us. We're going to end off with our favorite Forget About It song. So yeah, everybody say goodbye and thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Deuces. Thanks for tuning in today.
For the man,
too much for the man, he couldn't make it,
so he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going,
he said he's going back to find,
going back to find,
ooh, 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 what's left of his world, the world he left behind. Not so long.